Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You might have heard that planning permissions for new apartments fell by almost 39% last year. That was according to those CSO figures that were released in the afternoon. And it comes just weeks after CSO data show that the number of homes completed last year was 30,000, down significantly on the government's own target and down too on the number of homes completed in 2023. So what's going wrong in our planning system? And will reforms introduced late last year go far enough to streamline planning and deliver the infrastructure we so badly need? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now in the studio by architect, former president of the Royal Institute of Ireland and chair of the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance, Robin Mandel, and by adjunct associate professor in the School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy in UCD, Tom Phillips. And Tom is also the managing director of his own planning consultancy. Tom, I might start with you on those figures yesterday that we had from the CSO. Planning permissions for new apartments down by 39%. Why do you think that is?
I think because it's the complexity of the whole system and also the viability issue that is, for some developers, it's not viable to build or it's too complex. And a major issue is the fact of the threat of judicial review. That I was talking to a developer the other day who's one of the most prolific developers in the country, and he's got three schemes under the in the courts with judicial review, and he's not prepared to go further with planning applications because he needs to get those three through first, because there's no point in moving on. He says everything he does attracts objections, and he just doesn't want to build. He wants to build, but he feels that he's just going to throw good money after bad if he continues to do so.
So you're pointing the finger for that reduction, blaming that reduction really in part or in the main on the planning?
No. Well, planning, yeah. And as a planner, absolutely. It's the system is too long. There's another scheme the other day that I read where it's got a refusal, and the developer lodged it in 2022 and the board determined it and refused it in 2025. So it's in the planning system for 3 years. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. There's just delays. And part of the reason, there's lots of reasons why that is. Part of it has been under resources of the planning system in the sense that only this week planners came back on the critical skills list. So we only have a certain number of planners. So for instance, Dublin City Council's got 70% of the workforce it should have in the planning system. So they're under a lot of pressure. And also, Robin,
but that decision to put them on the critical skills list will make a difference, won't it?
It will. It should do, because I was just saying, in lecturing, I've got six nationalities. If you include all the Europeans, the Irish, got a German girl who actually works for me at the moment, and an Italian girl, and the rest are Irish or English and are European, and they can work. I could employ them. But I've got five other nationalities: Pakistanis, Indians, Chinese, Americans and Canadians in the class, and I can't employ any of those. And if we had Australian students or Kiwi students, New Zealand students, I couldn't employ them because we can only educate them, but we can't employ them. Mm. And all it took was somebody, after at least 2 or 3 years of badgering, to put planners in the critical skills list.
Right,
and
bring them in. Change things now. Robin, we know that there are changes coming. Like, we had the planning bill from the last government, as it was now last year, and the hope was that that would fix, or go some way at least to fix, the planning system. Will it work?
I don't believe it will. And we made presentations to the Joint Committee, the Oireachtas Committee. I think it's just further complicating the issue.
Oh, no.
I disagree with Tom on the judicial review issue. But
you think that's necessary?
I think that if you look at the figures, I understand from a developer's point of view, one judicial review is one too many. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the actual figures over the last decade, there have been about 350,000 planning applications. There have been about 22,000 appeals, and there have been 585 judicial reviews. It's a tiny figure.
Mm-hmm. So that's not the problem. But I think
I don't believe that's the problem.
From what you said there, most people will be wondering, how can we aim to improve and streamline with a new planning bill, but overcomplicate it again, which is what you say?
Yes. I mean, if I think Tom will agree with me on this. I was, when I started in architecture, the 1963 planning bill, which was the first effective planning bill in the country, wasn't even a decade old. It lasted for about until about 76, when it changed. Another planning bill came in, which brought in the Planning Appeals Board, which subsequently is now Bord Pleanála. That was due to ministerial interference in decision making. Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago. And then that sort of went along quite well until things got a little bit more complicated. So we signed the Granada Convention on Heritage. We started going into Aarhus. There were all sorts of things that were built into the planning system. So we ended up with the 2000 Act, and that included Part 5, which was to do with the amount of
social and affordable housing.
So it was all consolidated into the 2000 Act. And that's worked for us for about 25 years. It's still the current act. For one reason or another, the system started to fall apart about a decade ago. I would put it at the Great Financial Crash, actually, because the same planning system before the crash in terms of housing was producing nearly 100,000 units per annum. After the crash, it was producing about 4. So, it's the same planning system, but the housing being produced was totally different figures.
Did we need this bill? Are you saying that we needed this bill?
I don't believe we did. I think had we consolidated the 2000 Act, that would have been enough.
Tom?
I think we did need it. I mean, there was commitments made in 2016 to do so, a root and branch review. But the problem is, in the 60 years, it's actually got 600 times, it's got six times bigger. There's six times more sections in the new act than there were 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in the year 2000, there was half the number they have now. And a lot of that is just to take on board legal challenges, EU rules, etc., and try and cover everything. So it's an act that's trying to cover every single aspect. And it's often said that it's the third largest piece of legislation ever written in the country after, I think, the Companies Act and the Taxation Act. So it's a massive piece of legislation, which shouldn't be so complex, but it is. And the worst news of it is it's over 900 pages, but at the moment they're drafting the regulations that are required to enact it, and they'll be over 1,000 pages. So we'll be carrying around 2,000 pages of text with us. That's what we're supposed to understand, and it doesn't
and comply with.
And to add complexity, it doesn't actually happen overnight. It's going to happen in phases. So the old act, the 2000 Act, and all its changes follow along with the new act until such time as the whole thing is through. Mm-hmm. So it'll lead to more litigation. But back to Robin's point about judicial review, I don't think it's a numbers game about the number of judicial reviews. It's about the numbing effect it has. But people said, well, I'm not going to risk money because it might be 500, but that's 500. Like, if each of these schemes costs over €1 million or more to do, just to put the application in and get it through, and €1 million is scratching the surface. A lot of these schemes cost way more than €1 million to put together because of the amount of complexity of reports that are required, that it just puts people off saying it. And I mean, the foreign direct
investment.
It's
a chilling effect. It could happen, is what you're saying.
An architect, Tony Radio, was telling me recently about a presentation he made to American investors about 2 years ago. And this American investor said that Ireland has we don't have the water, the energy, the planning or the infrastructure required for him to waste his money. So he wasn't going to come here. Uh-huh. And we need foreign money. Like, we welcome in foreign money, foreign direct investment to build offices and industrial units. But we also need foreign money to invest in Ireland because we don't have enough money to build the houses we need.
Robin, you're a fan of the continental planning model. Why is that?
Absolutely, because it simplifies everything. I think, again, Tom would agree with you on this. The real issue here is that the system has become so complex. It shouldn't be that complex. If you apply for a housing scheme, it shouldn't take that long. It should be much more streamlined. But the way to streamline it is to have a development planning system that is quite rigid. And you set out in the development plan exactly what uses are permitted, the sorts of volumes. On the continent, they do three-dimensional planning. So rather like we did down in the strategic development zone down in the docks, they're, each site has got a volume you can build to. Each site has a use. And once you comply with that, you get your permission.
Where's the resistance? Is there resistance coming?
I don't know where the resistance is coming from. I think Tom will disagree with this. I suspect it's the resistance is from the developers, in the sense of the Planning Act developers, right? You know, the person who's making the planning application. They don't like to be restricted. You know, their mindset is look at the opportunity, see how much we can do. So that's
push
that's
it, where push I it as far it. As far
that's
as
where
we can.
I think the resistance is now. Maybe you
I
don't.
Agree. Well, I've written a report about this a few years ago, and about there's 11 strategic development zones in the country, and six of them had had no development, and they're the only bits of land where the Taoiseach of the day had designated land for development, and there were planning schemes, but nothing had happened because we're in the wrong places. So there are plenty of schemes. I'm involved in the Glass Bottle at the moment. We're trying to build up to 4,000 units on that. We're involved in down in Docklands, and we're building those with Johnny Ronan. We got permission recently for a 25-storey building. So the planner, the developers are working inside those boundaries and want to make it happen. But it's just, it's so difficult. So there, those do work. And in the new Act, a useful piece of the new Act is the introduction of the urban development zones, which will be smaller versions of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the state is trying to do it. They're trying to make it right. But they need to learn from the lessons of the strategic development zones, which didn't really work. And I made the point that...
But you said they were in the wrong places. Maybe it's not the model, but rather the location.
Well, somewhere. I mean, Clonmagadden outside Navan is one, for example. Like, I'm from Meath originally. I'd never heard of Clonmagadden. It just happened the minister at the time was from Meath. And Knock Airport has one. It hasn't happened yet. And others around the country, Monard and Cork, hasn't happened.
Yeah, but if you got the place right,
is the model right, the strategic development planning model right? Yes, it is, because we worked on the Grange Gorman campus, and that was one that was done. And where it worked is where you've got a limited number of developers, where you've got a lot of developers, like in Cherrywood, where we're also involved. That's quite complex because you need a lot of developers with different needs and different aspirations. Where we've got somewhere like Grange Gorman, where you just had the HSE and the university, it works very well because you can work out what it is required.
Yeah.
So they do work.
Yeah, but see, if the planning system was very simple, Rob and Tom wouldn't have a planning consultancy. You know, there'd be no need for them. That's a problem too,
always
isn't
need
it?
Claire, always need.
There shouldn't be as much need for all of the gamut of reports that have to be done. It shouldn't be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you conform to the requirements of the development plan, whether it's a UDZ in the new Act, an SDZ in the old one, the normal development plans, it should be virtually a sine qua non that you get permission.
Well, you see, this was my question to you both. Yeah. Where is the resistance coming from? And Tom, you know, I'm not asking you to vote for Christmas here now, but there is an industry around the complicated planning system that we have.
Yeah, but I can't think of any planning consultant who actually likes it. We find it very frustrating because we want to get on with our jobs. I mean, I love getting planning permission from my clients. I don't want to be tied up in months and months of litigation. And the thing as well, when we do our planning application at the moment, most of our large applications have to be sent. Once I do all the planning work, it has to be sent to a law firm who will charge partners' rates per hour just to read it for legal, not to do is a better scheme, but just to look for legal nuances that we might have missed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the complexity comes in.
So are we saying then that we have this new Act, but it's not the right one and we're not getting it right again?
No, I'm saying that it's going the right direction, but it's a really thorny problem. It's a really tricky, and the problem is it's like a magnet that attracts iron filings. Each time a new piece of judicial review comes out, you have had situations where judges have criticised the technical competence of planners, not because they might have done something illegal, but planners are not lawyers. They're not there to interpret the law, but that's where it's becoming. So it's very much the planning is sitting in between architecture and law, and it's becoming more and more complex and legalistic, and you've got certain law firms whose job is to find fault in planning applications, and they just keep adding to the library.
I can't let Tom get away with that,
I'm afraid.
Obviously people do their work. But the process of judicial review is not one that is an easy process. It's not one that people jump into. It isn't holding the stuff back. The figures are there. It is not holding stuff back. Forget about numbing effect. It just isn't holding. The fact is that it's not holding it back, right? What we need is a simple planning system which goes back to the core values that Tom has as a planner, which is proper planning and sustainable development. That's all it is. It shouldn't have to be as complicated as it is. And it should be based on two primary principles, which it has been. Now, these have been enumerated since the Maastricht Treaty was won, so it postdates the 63 Act. But the principle of subsidiarity, which is that decisions should be made at the most local level they can be. What this Planning Act is doing, which will make it more complicated, is it's putting virtually all of the power centralised to the department and the minister of the day. That has been going on since 1977. That's the root cause of the complexity of the planning system, is that the concept of subsidiarity has gone. And the stuff that Tom is talking about in terms of judicial review, the Aarhus Convention, which we signed, is 3 points: access to information, public participation in decision making, and access to justice. Those three things are simple. This act is trying to undermine them.
Well, the design, I would imagine, or the strategy behind that design, the centralisation of it, is speed, progress and pace because of where we are, no?
One would assume that that would be the case, but in fact, it started much earlier. It started in 2015 when the then minister changed Section 28, which was the guidance part of the Act, and made, instead of having guidance, he made ministerial directives. There followed a series of different ministerial directives that changed the planning system, which made it more complicated. A lot of them, I have to say, at the behest of the property industry. And the most classic one,
imagine,
of which is the SHD.
Imagine trying to build houses in a crisis. What a shock.
But, you know, that's what complicated it.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to leave it there, but thank you both for coming in. Tom Phillips and Robin Mandel with us there. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, Andrew Tate, the highly controversial social media influencer, is in Florida at the moment. He's facing serious criminal charges in Romania, but could he be extradited to Britain? And you'll want to stay too for Chef Nevin Maguire, who takes some classic Irish dishes and adds his own twist. But coming up next, what does an intimacy coordinator do on a film set? Well, we'll meet one after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.